Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper.
Welcome back to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast. We are focusing on the volunteer state and our nation today and our world with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, special guest, Shee Van Fleet. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us anywhere you get your podcasts and socials at Mill Creek View, Tennessee. While you're there, please subscribe. With Columbia, Tennessee-based EnergizeHealth.com, you lose fat fast, simply, and naturally without restrictive exercise or cardboard, dry, tasteless food. Revolutionize your health with this proprietary 88-day science from John and Chelsea Jubilee. People report getting off medications and reversing ailments. Energy, mental clarity, and alertness go through the roof, look and feel many years younger and oftentimes unrecognizable. I know, I'm an alumnus and lost 70 pounds of fat with John and Chelsea and wouldn't have energy to do three shows a week without it. Hit the link in show notes for your free consultation and discount, money back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose but unhealthy fat. EnergizedHealth.com. Welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. Today we are talking with Mrs. Shee Van Fleet, a Virginia mom who immigrated to the U.S. after enduring Mao Zedong's Cultural Revolution, slammed a Virginia school board over its support of the controversial critical race theory. Fleet likened CRT to China's Cultural Revolution, which saw Mao Zedong lead a genocide of anywhere between 500,000 and 20 million deaths from 1966 to 1976. Van Fleet, whose son graduated from Loudoun High School in 2015, recalled that she was just 6 years old at the start of the Cultural Revolution, which saw state-sponsored propaganda pitting students and teachers against one another. Van Fleet is grateful that she was able to make it out and move to the U.S. at 26 years old, noting how she found freedoms she had never deemed possible. However, she said she felt some of those freedoms eroding in the current political and cultural climate in the United States. In her speech to the school board, she drew direct parallels between what she had witnessed in China and what she saw in the USA today. Mrs. Van Fleet, how are you today?
Good, good. Thank you so much for inviting me to your show.
Oh, thank you. We are excited to have you, and thank you for taking the time. You wrote an article for the Daily Caller. I love the Daily Caller. I get a lot of research done from there. America's leftist useful idiots are clueless of the fate that awaits them if the revolution succeed. What's the fate of leftists they must think they are safe from?
Yeah, this is my personal experience. So what I'm talking about is what happened to the Red Guards after Mao used them to get power for himself. And so for that, we have to probably go back to talk a little bit about the Cultural Revolution and what it is,
yes,
and
please,
why I compare it to what's going on today in America.
Well, let's do that. First of all, how would they even know, since they're never taught such history or given these warnings? So tell us, what was the Cultural Revolution? What was the result of the Cultural Revolution that would make you want to leave your native country? And what is America emulating that's giving you warnings that it's happening here, of all places, where it never should even be talked about?
Yeah, this actually is a big question. I try to be as brief and still make sense to you, to the listeners. And the Cultural Revolution started in 1966 and ended in 1976 when Mao died. The question is, why did Mao want to launch this Cultural Revolution? And then we have to go back a few years. And the CCP took power in 1949. And after that, they have been launching one campaign, political campaign after another. In the late 1950s, Mao launched this campaign called Great Leap Forward. And it's too much to talk about the detail, but the result was that up to 50 million peasants perished from starvation directly because of that campaign. So after that, Mao's reputation was tarnished. And the people started, within the party, people started to question his leadership. And so he was forced to take a back seat. in 1963. And that doesn't go well with him. As a dictator, you would never like the idea that someone else in charge. So he planned a comeback. And then that's the reason he launched the Cultural Revolution. And for the purpose, first of all, to get power back. And how did he do that? He did not use the army. He did not have to, because he had another army. And those are the indoctrinated youth in the government schools and universities. Those are the young people who were taught from the beginning, very beginning of their lives, that their loyalty should be to the party and to Chairman Mao. And their real parents are the party and Mao. So those are the Red Guards. And he mobilized the Red Guards to take power from his own government. Basically, it's a coup against his own government. So the Red Guards did that for him. They took power from every level of the government. In the process, they did what's called smash the four O's. What are the four O's? Old tradition, old culture, old tradition, old ideas, old custom, and old habits. Basically, it's China's version of cancel culture. They destroyed everything that is traditional, everything that is not pure communist. And by the end of the Cultural Revolution, that's 10 years, up to 20 million people died. And all institutions destroyed, and the Chinese civilization gone. And that is the end of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. In the process, Mao got not only absolute power, he became a god for the Chinese people. And that's exactly what's going on today. So remember, the reason is basically to take power, not just power, but absolute power. And that's really what's going on today. The woke revolution that we are we're experiencing right now.
So when we think of the Red Guards, we shouldn't think of them as an elite fighting force from the military complex. We should think of them more like the French Revolution, where they came out of the institutions like the higher education or the students, the youth movement, or
students.
Even in the 1960s in America, protesting the Vietnam War, that type of Red Guard, they just labeled, okay, all right, interesting. Yeah. So now I've always had a question. My dates may be off, but I can't imagine a culture like Chinese not having a long memory enough to think that maybe this was an extension of the Opium Wars, and how the decimation of the culture of China through the Opium Wars that were, you know, waged by Great Britain, of course, which is Western civilization. Was there a string or some kind of tie-in to lead up to the culture war that made them ripe for a Mao to take such power?
Oh, actually, you're right. It did not go back to the Opium War, but it did go back to the Treaty of Versailles, which is what, 1916-ish, right?
Okay, that was, I know that was the Irish Revolution, but maybe it was the same
that
time.
That is the that leads to the Russian Revolution.
Okay.
Right? The
right.
World War,
yes.
End of the World War I. And what happened in in that treaty is that the imperialists gave the territory in China used to belong to the German, to the Japanese, rather than to back to China. So that sparked a protest by the students called the May 4th movement. Basically, that was kind of like a progressive youth taking that as the way to express their anger towards their own impotent government. But that is marked as the beginning of progressive Western ideology came to China, and not just any liberal ideology, but actually Marxists. Marxist ideology, and the goal is to fight against the imperialism. And in the process, they really want to have nothing to do with the old tradition, and they want to get rid of everything in, you know, the 3,000 years Chinese civilization. And that's the beginning. The Russian Revolution was in 1917, and in 1921, the CCP was born. And so 2 years after the May 4th student movement. So we went back a little too kind of far, but that was the beginning actually for the Marxist communist ideology started to take roots in China. And that they always, always want to destroy the tradition.
The tradition, yeah, that's a good place to start, like we did with our statues coming down and whatnot.
Yes.
Now, the Chinese ambassador made some recent comments, Xie, I'm not Chinese great, but Fang, said his aims to enhance U.S.-China relations at a time of serious difficulties and challenges. We hope that the United States will work together with China to increase dialogue, to manage differences, and also to expand our cooperation so that our relationship will be back to the right track, Xi said in remarks in English after landing in New York City. So what do you think the Chinese Communist Party and the government wants with America to work in tandem with about? Because we certainly have a lot of differences, even with our relationships with India. What do you think China the ambassador is asking for cooperation on?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I haven't read that piece of news. But in general, this is much I know. They will try anything to stop the spread of the Western, they call it the Western democratic ideas. They don't want that. And so they love the capital, right? They love the investment. But they did not like the Western style freedom, and actually that was the reason that Clinton let China into the World Trade Organization, saying that by opening up China, we will absolutely get the idea of freedom to China. In that way, China will in the process become a more democratic. And how many years later, now we know what happened.
That was actually my next point, was how Nixon and Kissinger opened up China to these wonderful markets in anticipation or expectation of changing them more to be like Western capitalists. But it seems to me like it hasn't worked that way, which is why I ask about this ambassador coming here to get us to cooperate with what they want more than what we would like to see in a democracy or in a free country.
Yeah, it is interesting. Actually, it did not work. It did not work out that way. Actually, it worked out the opposite. And China had killed democracy and freedom in its infancy. When China opened it up after joined the World Trade Organization, there's for a brief period of time, it seems to be a hope. And I went to visit China almost every other year, and I was very encouraged that there's freedom of speech, more so than ever before, but no more. And what happened now, you see, is that we become really, the Western countries become more totalitarian, like China, and we have less freedom of speech here. So it worked the opposite way, and I would say that the Westerners always underestimate the evil of communism. You can't really work with communists, and you will always be deceived and then in the end being destroyed by them.
That refers back to the article that you just wrote. And, you know, U.S. politicians, they think in 2-year election cycles, presidents 4 years, sometimes school boards 1 year. China thinks in like 1,000, 2,000 year increments. It's a long march, as they say, so, or a great leap forward. And if I'm not mistaken, the chairman is now for life. So course,
He get rid of,
that's called a dictator, right? For life.
yeah,
Joseph
emperor.
Stalin,
He's an emperor now.
he's an emperor now. Unbelievable. So, what did you make of this whole spy balloon thing that we went through this last spring? Was it weather balloons that just got untethered, or is China actually mapping potential military routes in our country? What was that all about?
I can't say, but the only thing I will say, I will really say this. You can talk about you can blame China this and that, but China is CCP run. The China the CCP is communists. Okay, so that is obvious. The problem is here, and I think the problem is here with those greedy capitalists, the corporate, greedy corporations. And greedy and weak politicians. I really think that's the problem. It's
Yeah.
our problem.
Yeah.
And so when I see the politicians so weak to China, I see that because they're all bought by the CCP. And the corporations, they don't care about the interest of our country. They are international. They have no loyalty to the United States of America. And that's the problem. I said the problem is right here. The problem
Yeah.
is in the West. The problem is within the United States.
Which is interesting because, we all have very much access to the visualization of what could go wrong. And so there's a gentleman named Ma who has a fortune of nearly $33 billion, right? And you would think that, wealth, great wealth would make you untouchable. He visited the city of Hangzhou and was seen meeting with students and teachers at the Alibaba funded Yonggu School. Or even the movie star Zhao Wei, also known as Vicky Zhao, has been seen her work disappeared from the internet as the country continues to tighten restrictions on figures with a lot of social influence. So these politicians or corporatists that you're talking about who think that they're going to get rich cozying up to the Communist Party aren't paying attention to the fact that they could take it away like that. They don't play by the same rules of engagement that American laws and trusts do.
Of course, the media play a big role. They don't. They actually they know. They know who they're dealing with because they are all bought by the CCP. But they don't educate the American people. It is a communist country. Communist country means the CCP owns everything. You can't be a millionaire today if they allow you to, but the next day they can take everything away. I tell people in China, it's not like a private company and a state-owned company. No. Everything and everybody is owned by the CCP.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring up, since 1962, we've all seen films of Jackie Chan. And since 2013, he has been a pro-Chinese Communist Party politician, having served 2 terms as a delegate to the Chinese People's Political Consultative, I guess it's called. So obviously, they allow him to do what he does versus, say, Vicky Zhao, who was not allowed to express those freedoms that she probably thought she had as soon as she became an international superstar. It's a different system over there. So tell me again, let's go back to you in the beginning. When you were growing up, did you ever think that you would have to pick up and go across an ocean and get to America and start afresh? And of course, you had many years, like we all did. I grew up in the 70s, of liberty, freedom, at least the perception of it. And now we're seeing this turn. Tell me what you learned while you were still there, what you went through to get here, and what your biggest fears are now about home, the new home.
It's very interesting when I talk to people now, and I have to do so much explanation because they don't have the reference. They have no idea when the question you just asked me, whether I thought about coming to United States. No, my world is so small. My world is just China and just my city. And for as travel is so difficult in most China. And I only, when I was young, I only was able to travel to the neighboring city, which was my hometown, That means my where my parents come from. So travel was, your world is just this small.
Yeah.
And what is our international world? Three countries. Our international news is what happened in North Korea, what happened in North Vietnam, and what happened in Albania. That's it. We don't
Albania.
hear anything. And of course, the propaganda that I got in school was America is an evil empire. And it's a heaven for or paradise for the rich and hell for the poor. And the poor could not even have enough to eat. Do I want to go there? Of course not. And then what it looked like, I have no idea, because all the information was controlled. And we had no access to anything else but what's fed to us. So and people say, did you notice something going wrong? No, that's my world. And then they defined it. I just go along. You can't think critically, because my first day in preschool and kindergarten or whatever was indoctrination. And so, how did I learn about America? It's after the Cultural Revolution, after Mao died, and Deng Xiaoping came to power, and he opened up universities. That's when I was able to go to college. Sorry.
Okay.
And then that was the time that things started to open up, and we could hear, we could listen to Voice of America and BBC through shortwave radio without committing a crime. People get executed by doing so during the Cultural Revolution. And once you get different information, it was like, oh my God, really? We were fed nothing but lies. That's how important information is. And that's when I learned the bigger outside world. That's where I learned about what America is about. And later I met American teachers come to our campus. And I remember one conversation I had with a Chinese American, and she told me, America is the greatest country on earth, and it's the best place for immigrants like me, like her, you know. And it was really a place people welcome immigrants from all over the world. And I was like, oh my God, I want to go there. You know, so it is, you know, you when you have a total control of information, you really control people.
So there's a celebrated Chinese dissident who called out President Biden for his soft response to the anti-government protests that were currently roiling the communist nation of China. He said, I feel that at Biden is still very soft on China, and that he hasn't been strong enough in dealing with the CCP. Lawyer and human rights activist Shen Zhengshen, who is blind, told the New York Post, much more needs to be done. How do you see, from your eyes and your understanding, the political administration of the Biden administration dealing with China?
That's it. I just don't think that was even a question. How would you ask a question for someone who is owned by China? Seriously.
So he just will never answer the question because he's too compromised, you're thinking.
Of course, of course. It's all this. You know, okay. We have the laptop from hell, and we still haven't got to it, right? But we know that he got money from China, and he's Biden Center in Pennsylvania had I don't know, three, I don't remember, $3 million donation from CCP.
Yep.
It's just obvious.
They don't give those out of the goodness of their heart. That comes with strings attached. Okay. I knew the answer. I just wanted to make sure you knew the answer. And of course you know the answer because it's obvious. And now it's on record on our show. So a guy named Zach Dorfman, July in 2018, he wrote a political article, How Silicon Valley Became a Den of Spies. That's a long time ago. The West Coast is a growing target of foreign espionage, and it's not ready to fight back. But spies will never leave Silicon Valley. As the region's global clout grows, so will its magnet-like attraction for the world's spooks. As one former U.S. intelligence official put it, spies are pulled toward the Bay Area like moths to the light, and the region will help define the struggle for global preeminence, especially between the United States and China, for decades to come. How come, if we know this, Silicon Valley is so wide open to the CCP?
I think you have to ask them. But one thing I know, money, 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 money. And also just think about it. They are helping CCP to crack down on protests in China. So Google said, don't do evil. And that's what they're doing right now. And Apple is doing the same thing. It is absolutely amazing, amazing that they line up with CCP and they line up against with CCP against the Chinese people. And you know that Zuckerberg wanted Xi Jinping to name their first child name, like a Chinese name. They admire the authoritarian regime because they have the power they wish they had here. I think that is the attraction.
And his
That
wife
is
is a Chinese individual, Shen. Her name is Shen. Yeah. And so a year prior to that article, even more scary, New York Times reported in 2017, killing CIA informants, China crippled U.S. spying operations. Current and former American officials described the intelligence breach as one of the worst in decades. It set off a scramble in Washington's intelligence and law enforcement agencies to contain the fallout, but investigators were bitterly divided over the cause. Some were convinced that a mole within the CIA had betrayed the United States. Others believed that the Chinese had hacked the covert system the CIA used to communicate with its foreign sources, killed or imprisoned 18 to 20 of the CIA sources in China. So I only brought up that article because it doesn't seem like, and it's been a long time now, China doesn't behave like our friend or our business partner.
It's not
They
behave.
kind
They tell you up front. They did tell everybody in China that their number one enemy is America. We just pretend we don't know. They don't even hide it. So I would say its problem is here. The problem is absolutely here. We should look within.
Agreed. And there's a growing number of migrants from China arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. 4,366 migrants from China encountered Border Patrol officials after crossing the southern border without authorization from October 2022 to February 2023. That compares with the 421 migrants who were encountered during the same period in 21-22. Those are fighting-age men, and China doesn't allow anything. As you said, they have an iron fist on just about everything, so that must be with approval from them. Are we being invaded in the southern border?
That I saw pictures, and I heard that among them there was one 67 old woman with the group passing through the jungle. I don't know. It's just very strange to me. I have no explanation. I don't know
Interesting.
whether they're organized or they're just really want to get out of China. I have no idea.
I'm sure there's a combination of all that if with the numbers that large, but they say that the route for fentanyl comes through China, and that the Mexican territory has now become where they actually assemble all the chemicals into one and then bring it up into America. So it's sort of like a proxy war for drugs from China through Mexico into the United States, killing more 18 to 20-year-olds than anything else in the country. Do you know anything about that? Because that seems to me like also an act of war.
Again, I'm this is our problem. We have open border,
Right.
that's just that simple. Yeah, there might be whatever you described or whatever that article talk about might be true. I don't know, but we have all open border. We let them all in.
We did.
That is the problem. That
I
is
agree.
absolutely a problem. I don't even want to discuss with people about how to stop CCP, stop the traders here.
That's we probably have a lot more power to do so too if we would just focus on it. So a little bit more history, because I just love talking to you and I love talking about history. In 1967, China and India went to war. There are still border skirmishes to this day. Is a war between India and China a worry?
You're really testing my knowledge. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't understand it. I know the latest confrontation. I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I do know that China is obviously very interested in territory, and the next question I have is about Taiwan, where they say that Chinese aircraft carriers are sailing through the straits again. Taipei reported the passage of Beijing's Shandong aircraft carrier and two other ships, and the latest sign of tensions in the waters separating the self-ruled island from mainland China. We hear a lot about Taiwan. We know about semiconductors. We know that's a monopoly on that product that runs everything from cars to TVs to our cell phones to this conversation we're having right now on Zoom needs semiconductors. What is going on, if you know, between China and Taiwan, and what's that history all about?
Well, the history, the history. I hope people know the history. The history that the government of Taiwan, the original government, Kuomintang, or the nationalists, was defeated by the communists. So they fled to Taiwan, and that is the beginning of the two. Both government claimed they were the true representative of China, and so that, of course, is they were enemies until recently, until the past few decades. And there's a lot of business and also a lot of infiltration in Taiwan. And actually, the Kuomintang, the original party, is pro CCP. I have no idea how that happened, but that's the case. So I this is geopolitics, but the one thing I can tell you, I thought it was funny. I talked to people in China, and they were so worried. Everyone thought the war is imminent. I said, "War by who?" I'm from a city in the southwest, and a city has a lot of a nice green area that they created just for recreation, and also just trees and you know what happened? The government ordered that all this were returned to farmland because they were telling the people that they have to be prepared, ready to be prepared for war. And so everyone feel really, really like the war is around the corner. When I asked them, where who you think will invade China? They said, United States. I said, really? Does it make sense? And so I don't know.
Okay.
So I'm just telling you, it's very, very interesting
It
that
is.
we
And I
think
would
that
never would have heard it
everyone.
if you didn't tell us. That's amazing. Yeah. And
It
I
is
guess
amazing. It is
it's like a
amazing.
bubble of misinformation associated with the reality of the real world that only you were able to find to be out because you escaped or you broke out. You
Yeah.
know,
It,
first it
also,
was
I'm talking
Truman.
to people, average people. They're just so worried because that's the kind of information they get. And when I ask them how, they can't even explain. And then on this side, we think that China going to attack Taiwan anytime. I don't know. I really don't know.
But, Truman first and then Eisenhower asked Congress for formal authority to defend Taiwan, so obviously an ally. The Formosa Resolution passed in late January 1955, which gave Eisenhower the authority to use force, but again, only in defense of Taiwan. Now it seems like I don't know if we would do that if this happened this month, next month, this winter. Would Biden, with what, like you said, his allegiances, would he honor the Formosa Resolution and defend Taiwan against? Probably not. We don't know. Okay. Let's see. Do you know about this? Of the 118 Confucius Institutes that once existed in the United States, 104 were closed as of June 21st, and four are in the process of shutting. That's a global situation. For example, Serbia just celebrated their second Confucius Institute's 9-year anniversary. Indiana Rep. Jim Banks demanded answers from Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on the Department of Defense's inadequate guidance for colleges. In August 2020, the United States Department of State designated the headquarters of the Confucius Institute in the U.S. as a foreign mission of China. As of last year, all of the Confucius Institutes located in the SUNY, which is New York, campuses were closed because federal research funding was jeopardized. According to these, at least 28 have replaced their Confucius Institutes with a similar program, and at least 58 have maintained their close relationships with their former Confucius Institute partners. They basically just changed the names, according to the National Association of Scholars reports. So my question is, because I know that we're going to get into you and your involvement in the local schools, the Confucius Institute has to be the psychological operation working inside of the institutes to get those kids riled up like we talked about in your revolution those many years ago. Am I right about that?
Well, yeah, basically it's a place to for the CCP to get into American institutions, educational institutions, to spread their ideology, and they offer things like language and the history or whatever Chinese culture. But once you're in it, you can't question this and this. You can't question Tibet. You can't question. You can't say anything about the Tiananmen Square, student massacre, those things. So again, this is their way to infiltrate our institutions, and we allowed it. And we allowed it. That's the problem.
Right. Yeah. They're using Chinese tactics or cultural mentality in our American institutions. And this quote I pulled out, if you are in the Confucius Institute and create some programs with CCP money, would you host a memorial event for the Tiananmen Square massacre?
Yeah.
Of course
mm-hmm.
not.
Yeah.
Are there written rules that stop you? No. Did someone above tell you not to? No. It's self-censorship. It's psychological. And that was written by Perry Link, professor of Chinese language studies at the University of California, Riverside.
100%. And also, people don't understand. This is very crucial. Americans do not understand that during the Cultural Revolution, Confucianism was denounced as one of the four O's. This something should be trashed. Actually, the Red Guards went to the Confucius temple and decimated it. That is almost like the Jews go to destroy the Wailing Wall. So they don't care about the Chinese heritage. And they are not the heir of Confucianism. They are the heir of Marxism. They said that. It's openly, they say that. And then, the Americans, the Westerners, the rest of the world have no idea. They welcome this Confucius Institute. But anyway, a lot of Confucian institutions are, I think, are closed. But they are not gone. They have new programs. The programs that have a different name. One of the things, these sister, some kind of sister school, sister university exchange program, which is exactly the same thing.
They just changed the name.
Yeah, you just changed the name.
Just like CRT became social emotional learning or wit and wisdom.
Exactly. Yeah, but the thing is that we allow them. We allow them to come here because...
Well, that's why I invited you on, is to tell people that, hey, we're allowing this. Maybe we should know more and stop it. Because I think 90% of the history that I just read, I know a lot of people... maybe not don't listen to my show, but have never heard this story before. Because like you said, when you lived in your village, you didn't hear about the World Trade Center or Afghanistan, although I do want to talk about that. Actually, that brings me to my next point. The Silk Road and our shameful surrender in Afghanistan, what Russia before us and the U.S. couldn't win militarily, it seems like China is just buying. That's not a good thing to have all the roads of not only communication, but commerce dominated by this communist party that you're talking about. Is the Silk Road successful, or do you think they're getting pushback from some of the territory that they're trying to take? And then that would lead me to my next question about Africa. Same thing. Are they successfully winning hearts and minds in Africa, or is Africa mad at them for traipsing through their land and taking their resources?
All this is, you know, geopolitics that I don't know very well, but I can say one thing: they don't care about winning the heart and mind of people. They just buy the elite, and that's every country is like that. Buy the elite, and then they get what they want, and it's money, and they don't care about the people. Never did. They don't care about their own people.
Yeah, you're right. One of the twisted ironies of that is when they buy something with currency, that is the interest that we pay them on the debt that they bought of ours. So our own taxpayer money is funding our own, or as Lenin said, the rope to hang ourselves with. I'm going to run out of time with you.
I just want to say that American and Chinese, or the CCP, they really laugh at us. They just think that we are just so stupid.
We are.
And they say win-win situation. Do you know how they interpret win-win for them? Have you heard about it?
They win, we lose?
For the CCP, they win twice.
They win twice. So, yeah, because Reagan had that same thing. We win, they lose. And they say we win twice. Okay. I'm going to run out of time with you. I got about 5 more minutes. I just want to throw out some questions. I'm sorry that I asked geopolitical questions, but since I had to do research to figure out what is China up to, that's kind of always geopolitical, even if it happens right here in my county. How devastating was the one-child policy in that country for so long?
Well, that's very devastating. And now they ran out of cheap labor. They absolutely ran out of cheap labor. And so I think just a few years ago, they allow people to have second child. Now they really require, they can't really force people to have more children. But if you are a cadre means if you are a government employee, or if you are in charge of, you know, managerial level, if you want to move up, you have to have 3 children.
Huh, they're catching up for lost time. Okay. Is the Chinese Communist Party that you described strong enough to survive into the future, even past Xi? I mean, the man will pass away unless he becomes a god, like you said. But are they strong enough to survive?
Well, no one can tell. But I do believe it is like a United States can only be destroyed from within, the same with CCP. We can't have like an army to go there and take out CCP. It has to be the people within.
Another revolution.
Yes.
Which are always very bloody. Whatever. A lot of innocent people die, unfortunately, to learn the lesson over and over again.
It can be violent or not, but it has to be within. I just don't see that how we can take it out from outside. And the same thing here. We should worry about us. And we are really facing the threat of the enemy within.
Yeah. I've got 100 episodes dedicated to exactly that. This is the one where we looked outside a little bit. But the Japanese Times, their neighbor, did an article, Winning Without Fighting, Why China is Exploring Cognitive Warfare. That sounds like TikTok and social media to me. A quote from it says, while the idea of directly influencing the human mind is not new, it may become increasingly feasible thanks to the advances in AI technology, the Times said. Is China in a position to beat us in cyber war?
Yeah, we allow it. Again, you know that all the social media, Western social media, Western media, were not allowed in China. You step out of the plane in Beijing, the first thing you found on your phone, nothing worked, nothing. All the Google and the YouTube and Twitter, none, because they have this great firewall. And yet we allow them to have Twitter, no, to have a TikTok. And not only damage our kids, but also influence our election and our politics.
Yes, and our politicians. Allow. Okay, so last question, back to right there where you're sitting now. Has the election of the new governor, Youngkin, and your popularity you personally resulted in change for Loudoun County schools? Or are they marching down the same ideological path you warned about years ago?
I would say it is wonderful that we have a governor who is pushing the right agenda. And but again, it all boils down to the local level. You see the resistance in Loudoun County School Board, which is still controlled by the Democrats. And so the key, I really share this with a lot of parents, and it's the local level, the lowest level of our government, of our elected officials that we need to have, we need to change, because that's where things really happen. And in Loudoun County, they still resist. They still resist what come from Richmond.
Wow. Well, the Democrats do have a published 2000 county strategy, and that sure reminds me of the cultural war that we talked about in the very beginning. So every county counts. The funny thing is, it failed right where you're sitting, and you had a lot to do with that. So thank you very much for your efforts to stand up and talk and not be silenced and not let, I'm sure, fear of reprisals and whatever else get in the way. But you knew that you had a son there. And so that's my final question is, knowing everything you know now, would you put your son through that system again, or would you look for alternatives?
Yeah, only if I knew.
If you knew at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Shi, thank you for your time. We very much appreciate you. God bless you. And we are at the end here. So please tell our listeners where they can go to find out more about you and follow you if you have social media.
Yeah, Twitter, please. I am very active on Twitter, and I do a lot of education. Share the information about what happened in China, Cultural Revolution, and I think that's the way for people to really know what's going on here. Because if you don't know history, when history is repeating, you have no idea. So my Twitter handle is XVANFLEET, X Van Fleet.
At Twitter. All right, fantastic. Well, thanks again for coming on with us, and we wish you all the best going forward.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're a patriot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Harvey Durham Health Insurance Agency is the trusted independent health insurance agency that you can depend on for all your health insurance coverage needs. He's great because he doesn't look at health insurance as sales. He looks at it as helping people and doing the best he can to solve your current long-term care, disability, and Medicare supplement needs, even pets. I know, I'm a client, and so is my lab, Caroline. Over 30 years of insurance experience behind every policy, give Harvey a call at 731-727-9242 or email him at harveydurham@harveydurham.com and tell him Steve and Steve at Mill Creek View sent you. I don't understand how you ever did without me. I don't understand how I bring you down to your knees. You like that song, don't you, Steve? Welcome to the Steve and Steve and She segment of our show. There it is. No, she's moved on. Where we cover what we just heard. Producer Steve, what'd you think of our guest, Virginia mom, American and Cultural Revolution survivor, Shi Van Fleet?
Well, again, you brought on a wonderful guest, and I learned a lot there. In a very calm manner, you delved into the history of what was going on there in China and how now it's being in there. And what impressed me most was the Red Revolution is what they did is they smashed what was old tradition, old ideas, old customs, old habits, and old institutions. And have we not seen the attempt to do this very same thing here in America, Steve?
Yes, we have. And I was one of a caller-in-er on a radio show in Los Angeles in 1993, one of the Michael Savage's first. And I said, I'm graduating college. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said, it doesn't matter. You have spirit. And that's exactly right. What China disallows their citizens to have is a spirit. America has a spirit. Spirit of 76, Bald Eagle, Americana, Memorial Day. We just celebrated 4th of July coming up. This is a country that only a place like this could have a conversation like we just had, I'm proud to have had.
Yes.
Let's hope that, like she said, we within fix this and keep it free and fresh and the place that everyone wants to come to, not get away from. Today is the last day of May, Steve. We probably should have had today's guest May 1st, which is May Day. Do you know what May Day celebrates?
I do, and I forget. So go ahead. My brain is
That's what I'm here for. May Day, also called Workers' Day or International Workers' Day, day commemorating the historical struggles and gains made by workers and the labor movement. We already have a Labor Day. Is it really just Happy Communism Day, which isn't very happy in a political movement? Do you know why they dance around the May pole? What that signifies?
Oh, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Go ahead.
No, that's close. That's a song, but that was about the Black Death in Europe. In the spring of 1627, when we were just kids, the Pilgrim settlement at Plymouth was scandalized when a rather different American named Thomas Morton decided to show the New World how to celebrate. At Marymount, which may have been America's first counterculture community, Morton erected a maypole, 80 feet of priapic pine, and by his own account, brewed a barrel of excellent beer to be distributed with other good cheer for all comers of that day. Miles Standish, you know that name, that well-known non-womanizer accompanied by America's first vice squad, interrupted the revels, which was subsequently described by Plymouth Governor William Bradford as the beastly practices of the mad Bacchanalians. Morton eventually was busted, placed in the stocks, and returned to England in a state of mortifying near starvation. Good times. We should celebrate May Day every year. Okay.
Reminds me of what they do at Bohemian Grove every year.
Yeah, I've been there. That's not what they do. But anyway, okay, 1957. Mike Wallace interviewed Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger in a discussion that will make your skin crawl if you have a heartbeat. Listen.
Believe in sin? When I say believe, I don't mean in believe in committing sin. Do you believe there is such a thing as sin?
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things, just marked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin that people can commit.
But sin in the ordinary sense that we regard it, do you believe or do you not believe?
Well, what would they be?
Do you believe that infidelity is a sin?
Well, I'm not going to specify what I think is sin. I've stated what I think is the worst sin.
Yes, but then you asked me to say what, and I said what, and you refused to answer me?
Yes, I don't know about infidelity. It has so many personalities to it, and what person's own belief is. I couldn't generalize any of those.
I think that's the voice of Satan.
Yep, there she is, folks. Hillary Clinton's idol, evil. Nancy Pelosi, spark of divinity, not found in Margaret Sanger coming to speak of children on 60 Minutes, which is used to be the most watched news show in the world. Oh, clip number two.
Back in 1989, the shot schedule was 10 shots given.
10 shots given.
When I was a kid, what do we get? 3?
It's twice as many as anywhere else in 30 countries in the Western world.
But
we give twice as many shots as any of those countries. Why is that?
You should educate yourself. We want to empower parents to educate themselves. Do we need to have the chickenpox? Do we need the hepatitis B shot on the second day of life?
I don't think we can afford to assume that the people who are charged with our public health any longer have our best interests at heart all the time. Parents have to make their own decisions, educated decisions.
When the other doctors are here, and they will be on the other side in a while after you leave.
Grab them and stab them, you mean?
That was one.
This is my nickname.
Well, what will they say? Why would a doctor not want to know more about something that could save a life or prevent a disease? I don't understand.
The AAP is financed by the drug companies. Medical schools are financed by the drug companies. This is a huge business. Vaccines are the largest growing division of the pharmaceutical industry. $13 billion.
They control
profit.
Medical schools. These doctors are not learning about prevention or vitamins or diets.
What we're asking is for them to take a loss for the good of our children. That's a tough sell in a boardroom.
Wow, I mean, turtles all the way down, Steve.
What was the date on that?
Oh, I didn't get it. Sorry.
1998, Larry King speaks with Jim Carrey, Mask, Liar, Liar. Those are funny. And his ex, Jenny McCarthy, warned you long ago. What you didn't hear was autism and vaccines were linked. That's what he was talking about. Too bad Trump broke his brain because he's not funny anymore. Hey, I did some journalisming for y'all. Are you ready?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Retail giant Target has partnered with GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, for years. They believe this is a noble cause. GLSEN is a group that provides sexually explicit books to schools, pushes gender ideology throughout public school curricula, and advocates policies that keep parents unaware of their children's in-school gender transition. According to reports, GLSEN is a radical education group leading efforts to create inclusive and anti-racist environments for LGBTQIA plus students. What about the spirits? Oh, GLSEN believes that every student has the right to a safe, supportive, and LGBTQ inclusive K through 12 education. We are a national network of educators, students, and local GLSEN chapters working to make this right a reality. It was Barack Obama who first pushed teaching sex education to kindergartners back in 2007. He even pushed sex ed to kiddies legislation. In 2007, Barack Obama gave a speech to Planned Parenthood where he pushed teaching sex education to little kindergartners. The media mostly hid this from the American public. Barack Obama's safe school czar, Kevin Jennings, who founded GLSEN, Kevin Jennings, that's the journalism part, Kevin Jennings was a member of the Obama administration pushing his agenda in schools. They claimed it was inclusive. GLSEN's stated mission is to empower gay youth in the schools and to stop harassment by other students. Noble. It encourages the formation of gay student alliances and condemns the use of hateful words. GLSEN also strives to influence the educational curriculum to include materials which the group believes will increase tolerance of gay students and decrease bullying. Noble. To that end, GLSEN maintains a recommended reading list of books that it claims further our mission to ensure safe schools for all students. Sound familiar? In other words, these are the books that GLSEN directors think all kids should be reading. Gay kids should read them to raise their self-esteem, and straight kids should read them in order to become more aware and tolerant and stop bullying gay kids. We call that grooming now. Through GLSEN's online ordering system called GLSEN Book Link, featured prominently on the website, teachers can buy the books to use as required classroom assignments, or students can buy them to read on their own. According to GLSEN's own press release from the period during which its recommended reading list was developed, the organization's three areas of focus were creating educational resources, public policy agenda, and student organizing programs. In other words, the reading list, chief among its educational resources, was of prime importance in GLSEN's effort to influence the American educational system. During the 2000 conference, workshop leaders led a youth-only, age 14 to 21 session that offered lessons in fisting, a dangerous sexual practice. During the same workshop, an activist asked 14-year-old students, spit or swallow, is it rude? Barack Obama's safe school czar, Kevin Jennings, was paid $273,573.96 as its executive director in 2007. Jennings was the keynote speaker at the 2000 GLSEN conference. Get that? But wait, there's more. Clip number whatever, four.
It's important for us to also acknowledge that not everyone is going to believe or be bought into our strategies and our priorities on this topic. They just aren't. And so when we talk about leader accountability and the importance of representation and these strategies and these goals being integrated into someone's responsibility, like just to be really pragmatic and practical, then it becomes, okay, you don't we may not be able to change your mind shift on appreciating why this is important, but you do understand that as a part of your job responsibilities, you will lead inclusively, you will have representation on your team, you will be responsible for these behaviors, values, and expectations. And it also, quite frankly, puts a light on the folks that don't believe in this, but emphasizes that you still have to do it to do this job, to be a part of this company. And eventually, you'll see a change in their mindset or they may leave. And, you know, that's a part of this process too. This isn't for everyone. But what has to be for everyone is accountability, and accountability comes with transparency. It's really.
Boy, they're laying, you know, the neat thing about Zoom, Steve, is not only does the CCP able to, or whoever made it, but we get to see somebody's recording that pulled it off and shares it with the rest of the world.
Who was that?
I said the neat thing about.
No. What was it? Who was that? Who did we just listen to?
That was Target Kira Fernandez, Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer and VP of HR, tells all the Target employees to accept DEI or find a new place to work. So this is Target.
Where did we hear that last?
Oh, we just heard it in our.
No. Where? Maybe this is a trick question. Where did we last hear somebody say, if you don't like it, you don't have to work here?
Oh, gosh. I do know that question. Tell me, Steve.
Vanderbilt Health.
That's right.
Before they got shut down. All right. 16 years later, we see Glisten as a valued partner with major U.S. corporations. We just heard Target. It was all the plan, and it all started back during the Obama administration. Ready for some more journalism in ink?
Yes.
Target's VP of brand management is treasurer at LGBTQ group that pushes school districts to allow children to secretly change gender. Company donated $2.1 million to organizations. I can't read that in this. Carlos Saavedra, 43, you should know better, is Target's vice president for brand management and also volunteers as a director at Glisten. Glisten said teachers should keep trans and non-binary students' gender identities confidential, including from parents. Why would that be? A marketing executive at Target also serves as the treasurer of an LGBT organization, which receives millions of dollars from the retailer and advocates allowing trans and non-binary school students to keep their gender identity secret from parents. Carlos Saavedra is Target's vice president for brand marketing and also volunteers as a director at Glisten, which supports LGBTQ youth in schools. Target has reportedly donated $2.1 million to Glisten, whose policies include ensuring school staff should ensure that all personally identifiable and medical information relating to transgender and non-binary students is kept confidential. Glisten's policy said this should include withholding the information from parents or guardians unless the student has authorized such disclosure. Critics say the policy violates a parent's right to parent their own children. Glisten leads the movement in creating affirming, accessible, and anti-racist spaces for LGBTQIA+, whatever comes next. Students, we are proud of 10-plus years. We are proud of 10-plus years of collaboration with Glisten and continue to support their mission. Saavedra joined Target in July 2019 and was made vice president brand management in January 2021, according to his LinkedIn page. More journalisming for you. His profile says he joined Glisten as a board member in May 2019 and was elected to executive committee as treasurer in November 2021. Fast rise. Saavedra's profile explains the organization's mission is helping create safe spaces in schools for LGBTQIA+ students. Clip number four, please.
You should be able to come to work and wear one thing one day that's sort of read as one gender, and then come to work the next day and wear something else that's perhaps read as a different gender, right? I should be able to just come to work one day in pants and come to work another day in a skirt, and that shouldn't be seen as inconsistent. That should be seen as me just bringing my full self to the job, because that's what it is. Transgender and gender nonconforming people are now a fundamental part of the fabric of the world around us. Most recent research done by the Human Rights Campaign indicates that out of young people who do not identify as cisgender, 2/3 don't even use the word transgender to describe their identity. They use words like genderqueer, non-binary. Honestly, in a lot of samples, the word unicorn has been listed as statistically significant among responses to gender-based prompts, right? So what that tells you is that the younger generation of the workforce, millennials and folks even younger than millennials, we're bringing a gender revolution into the workplace. We're bringing it with us everywhere we go. It's coming, and it's really important for any organization to be ahead of that curve so that you don't have to lose really incredible, brilliant employees to discrimination or to just not being prepared. We have to be inclusive of transgender.
So he called that a gender revolution. We just heard about a cultural revolution that killed millions and millions of people. He doesn't know what he's talking about. She doesn't know what she's talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. And now the punchline. A whistleblower Benny Johnson, an exclusive internal Target memo ordering the destruction of the groomer pride section across stores. He went to the Target he reported from last week to check. He was shocked at what he found. He said the pride display signage is gone. Groomer items gone. Satanic designer items gone. Sex cult children's books gone. Tuck swimsuits gone. Baby clothes gone. Child mannequins gone. And much, much more. This is the power we have to protect our children. We should use it more often. Onward. So now you know how we got here. DEI strategies are divisive social justice concepts introduced to companies via employees that attended woke schools. The sale tactics is very similar to the way the mob used protection rackets to shake down businesses. You'll implement DEI if you know what's good for you. Clip number five.
Campaign, a whistleblower from inside of Target has actually given us corporate directives as it pertains to the pride display this year. These corporate directives say that they need to remove a huge portion of the items permanently, and they're going to get rid of the child mannequins. They're going to get rid of the pride section inside of the children's department effectively at Target. Is any of this real? Is it actually happening? And how drastic are these changes? Well, we're going to our Target, the same Target that we went to actually last week, to show you this. We're going to see what's up. Wow. Guys, this is wild. There used to be a like massive, like in your face display right here, just a couple of steps into the store, right? So there's the entrance. Here's where the display was. This is also happens to be the children's section, right? You see all the kids' clothing and apparel and stuff. Now that entire display is gone. So apparently that memo was read. The memo specifically said you got to move those child mannequins back to the children's section, and they gone. The satanic designer is gone.
This is the Satanist who designed that.
The guy who's like a open Satanist, his stuff is now officially evaporated. Baby items now are gone. So now you can't find the baby bibs, you can't find any of the children's clothes.
There's still a few things like that are got the flag on them.
And they've taken away some of the groomer books.
Agenda there. No agenda here. Here we go. Again, that's the kids section.
Right here was a book that was like a coloring book that showed like super hypersexual relationships between adults. Not sure why that would be appropriate for kids to color. No matter the sexuality. I think that's inappropriate for little children. We'll always have Alex Stein though. And that modeling that tuck swimsuit.
This is not, you guys see this? It's tuck friendly.
The tuck swimsuit now, officially gone. RIP. Joanna Gaines.
There you go. It's working, Steve.
All right. Well, the joke's on them, but company's still not getting the memo. We'll see if he mentions Chip and Joanna Gaines. We'll see if they remove their stuff from Target. But like Benny called them out on, from Target, Target, or as it's now called, Target. Here's one that didn't get the memo. The uber popular fast food restaurant Chick-fil-A has recently published its diversity, equity, and inclusion statement, which appears to be a complete amendment of its long-held Christian values. A statement recently released on the company website stated that one of its core values is that we are better together. Chick-fil-A's statement continued, when we combine our unique backgrounds and experiences with a culture of belonging, we could discover new ways to strengthen the quality of care we deliver. Deliver the care? Aren't they supposed to be making chicken sandwiches? Not a healthcare company. To customers and the communities we serve and to the world. We understand that getting better at together means we learn better, care better, grow better, and serve better. Chick-fil-A Inc.'s commitment to being better at together, whatever, means embedding diversity, equity, and inclusion in everything we do.
Yeah.
On Tuesdays, Chick-fil-A revealed it was appointing Eric McReynolds, here's more journalism for you, to serve as the new vice president of DEI. But leave it to California to do it bigger and worse, Steve. California to ban Skittles in state where children can get sex changes without parents' approval. The chemicals have been linked to reproductive issues, but so have sex changes. The California State Assembly has passed a bill that would ban Skittles, Taste the Rainbow, and other delicious candy treats over chemicals contained that are linked to health issues. I never liked those things. This is the same state passed a bill last year making the state a sanctuary for minors seeking sex changes, like your state. I'm sure they have the sights on Halloween next. Not allowed to have any fun out west, young man or women or whatever you are. Next story, Biden administration.
Can I
chocolate
do a quick interrupt? I just want to let people know.
We're running
go
long.
Back and listen to Joey Bright.
Oh, yeah. Everyone listened to Joey Bright twice.
Yes.
Biden administration, chocolate milk too dangerous for kids, but puberty blockers are fine, as if President Joe Biden and his administration haven't already done enough to make life more difficult and usher in more hardships for the American people. His band of merry muck-ups are now setting their sights on school lunches and toying around with a ban on chocolate milk, as well as strawberry milk and other flavored alternatives over concerns about added sugars. Yes, the same administration that called it outrageous and immoral to prevent children from taking life-altering hormones and cutting their balls off to prevent puberty from the purpose of transitioning is worried that milk provided at school might have ill effects on their health. And now the good news. They always like to find good news. This time out of Point Lookout, Missouri. Everyone knows where that is. Tiny Christian college goes on offensive as Biden tries forcing female students to share dorm rooms, even showers with men. What? A small Christian college in America's heartland is fighting a legal battle with far-reaching implications. At stake is the school's ability, any school's ability, to restrict spaces such as dormitories and showers to only women. Does Riley Gaines know about this? What was once unthinkable for a Christian college became the all-too-real problem the day Joe Biden was sworn in as president. In one of his first official acts in the Oval Office, Biden signed an executive order that redefined the term sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity. Recognizing the high stakes involved in the case, a number of other Christian colleges have submitted Friends of the Court briefs supporting the suit, where the Catholic schools, brought by the College of the Ozarks. 19 states and numerous advocacy groups have done likewise. The college also argued, I doubt Bob Ferguson will get into that. The college also argued that not only does the Biden executive, you can Google him, executive order violate the school's constitutional right to operate consistently with their religious beliefs, but also that there should have been a public notice and comment period before such a dramatic change was made. In September, a three-judge panel from the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals dismissed the case and denied a petition for the matter to be heard by the full court. College of the Ozarks and its law firm, Alliance Defending Freedom, located here, responded in February by asking the United States Supreme Court to review the case. The Supreme Court is expected to decide whether to hear the case in late June. Can you even imagine, Producer Steve, if they lose 5-4, showers for everyone? Unbelievable. Okay, next story. A youth curfew in Baltimore implemented last Friday night. The city curfew for anyone younger than 14 will be 9 p.m. each day. For those younger than 17, the curfew will be 11 p.m. on weekends and 10 p.m. on weekdays. The curfew will continue through September 4th. That's one bummer summer. Here's how the curfew works. Those under 14 have to be inside by 9 p.m. Those between the ages of 14 to 16 have to be inside by 10 p.m. on school nights and 11 p.m. on weekends. It goes into effect the Friday before Memorial Day and lasts through the last Sunday in August. Parents face fines of up to $500. Children out after hours will be brought to one of two youth connection centers in Baltimore City. Get out of Baltimore if you can. Second to last. Terrified CNN decries horrible new polling for Joe Biden, and it only gets worse from there. Gee, after what I just read, I wonder why this is happening. Fox News poll, are President Biden's policies helping your family? Helping, 20%. Hurting, 48%. I'd like to meet those 20%. And among the ever-important category for re-election, independents, helping, 7%. I may know that one person. Hurting, 57%. Now the last story. Commie coffee shop folds 1 year after opening due to a lack of capital. Who could have guessed? Last year, a Toronto man, Gabriel Sims Fewer, announced the launch of a business virtually no one was asking for, a communist coffee shop. The cafe was to be called The Anarchist, and unlike Outback, they meant it when they said there's no rules. Customers were allowed to pay for the coffee as they saw fit, and they could browse through some communist merch as they sipped their drinks too, items that, interestingly enough, did not have a price tag. It was to be a refuge from the ills of peacefully buying and trading with others under oppressive capitalist systems, a radical community space on stolen land, they said, a place where anyone could hang out and use the bathrooms, whether they were purchasing things or not. But alas, it was not to last long for the world. Less than 1 year since their launch, the business has folded, and their statement explained the failure is frankly priceless. Listen to this. Unfortunately, the lack of generational wealth / seed capital from ethically bankrupt sources left me unable to weather the quiet winter storm or to grow in the ways needed to be sustainable longer term. No wonder, according to Gallup survey, the percentage of Americans currently treated for depression has increased to 17.8%, up about 7 points since 2015. Capitalism wins again. Stay tuned for my thoughts of the day. If you have a beloved horse that you love like a family member and it's on its last legs, you need to call Edward at Tennessee Horse Cremation. He's got the only custom trailer around and never has to drag a horse. He's compassionate and will help make a difficult situation a little bit easier. Call and ask questions anytime. He's available 7 days a week. 931-300-2333. Serving Tennessee as well as portions of Kentucky, Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. TNHorseCremation.com. Welcome to my quotes for the day. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Podcast. Just go to Rumble or Spotify or iTunes and hit the subscribe button and follow us. While you're there, go ahead and leave a comment. And thanks for doing it. But these former Red Guards and the refugees from the Cultural Revolution, surely they're out of school. No, Chin said. There's a whole army of night school students. Here at Sudan, the students humiliated their teachers, she said, but in the high school, it was not unknown for students to beat their teachers to death. What could be crueler? I suppose the answer was lots of things, an intellectual forced to shovel chicken shit, a Muslim forced to keep pigs, a physicist ordered to assemble radios, an historian in a dunce cap, a person beaten to death for being a teacher. Most intellectuals were sent into the countryside to farm and into the mountains. They went to the most backward provinces like Qigong, Ningxi, and Gansu, and Mongolia. Lots of intellectuals ended up in Mongolia. They had to suffer. These quotes, some from Paul Thoreau, writing The Iron Rooster. Here is China by rail in the 1980s. As seen and heard through the eyes and ears of one of the most intrepid and insightful travel writers of our time. His aim was to disprove the Chinese maxim, you can always fool a foreigner. Last one, human nature appears to be just the same all over the world. Mark Twain, quote from The Innocents Abroad. That's it for this episode. Really hoped you liked it. Thank you, Shi Van Fleet, for being the Paul Revere of our time and warning us the wokeness is dooming us. And we can stop it. I hope the forces of good listen this time. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of mcview.us. New issue out today. Peace in our time.
County Fair. They were looking for America behind every turn, flying the very colors that so many love to burn. I'll cruise the countryside with my dad and my brother, row after row of cotton and corn, moving through this place just like
Any views or opinions represented on the podcast are personal and belong solely to the creator and do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the creator may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity unless explicitly stated.